All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper. Turning here for this second hour. This will be an hour that will upset a lot of people, folks. But you know what? I enjoy doing that. You know, I'm still getting emails from people who are upset about my suggestion that Hitler was not financed by the Rockefellers or the Rothschilds, or that he wasn't Jewish. And they provide sources, quote unquote, that prove all of those theories and more, all of which sources they provided are unreliable sources. I had someone say, aha, you're wrong. Hitler was financed by the Rothschilds because the Warburg family were associated with the Rothschilds, and the Warburgs had interest in IG Farben, and IG Farben, they were on the board of directors of the American subsidiary of IG Farben, and IG Farben once gave money to the Nazi party, or blah, 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 blah. You know, all sorts of tangled quote unquote evidence that isn't evidence, and they think they've got me. So I have to laugh. And you know, oh, that does upset one of our listeners out there, Keith. We'll be talking about him later. Whenever I laugh, that really gets under his skin. I think Keith has a crush on me. Well, some of the things I'm about to say here now are going to upset a lot of people because I'm going to pay tribute to Hugo Chavez. I have written a tribute to Chavez filled with facts. But I understand now that some Patriot websites are saying Hugo Chavez was a bad, bad man. No, he wasn't, folks. This colorful Venezuelan strongman, a popular figure throughout Latin America, is dead. And I have to tell you, I have some Venezuelan friends who don't like Hugo Chavez, and we kind of agree to disagree on that topic. Although the controlled media contrived to mislead Americans into perceiving Chavez as anti-American, the truth is that the bombastic South American icon was actually a forthright nationalist critic of the internationalist and imperialist forces often referred to as the New World Order. Like many who oppose the privately owned Federal Reserve money monopoly, which operates unconstitutionally on American soil, Chavez was a critic of rampant global supercapitalism, which Chavez called the demon. There is no question Chavez knew the source of his high-powered opposition. In 2000, announcing a trip to Iraq, Chavez taunted his critics, remarking, "Imagine what the Pharisees will say when they see me with Saddam Hussein." That, folks, by the way, is when I knew Hugo Chavez was a good man. I didn't think much about him one way or the other, but when I saw that quote, "Imagine what the Pharisees will say when they see me with Saddam Hussein," I knew this man knew the score. He had just come into power. On another occasion, Chavez asserted, quote, "The world has wealth for all, but some minorities, the descendants of the same people that crucified Christ, have taken over all the wealth of the world," end quote, from Hugo Chavez. All of this that I've just related to you is largely something of which even otherwise well-informed American patriots are unaware. Now, should there be any doubt that Chavez was perceived as a roadblock in the way of the New World Order, and believe me, I'm telling you, there's a lot of patriots out there. I know the neoconservative internationalist imperialist types, kind of people who read and worship at the altar of the Weekly Standard and National Review and Human Events, which, by the way, has finally gone out of business. I know they don't like Hugo Chavez, but there's a lot of patriots out there who are suspicious of Hugo Chavez. Well, this is what David Rothkopf had to write about Hugo Chavez. Now, David Rothkopf is the longtime executive director at Kissinger Associates. When we come back, we'll hear what Rothkopf had to say about Hugo Chavez. Stay tuned. Open up your eyes so you may see. Ask you not to read between the lines.
Now more. more than ever. Killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
For many years, coffee lovers have learned that for the freshest coffee, you need to roast your own beans. Unfortunately, that usually meant paying more per pound for coffee than you could get it at the local grocery. Those wanting to store rich coffee for long-term use have been frustrated with the lack of quality coffee available with a long shelf life. So we usually settle for brand-name coffee, either ground or instant. But now, we have another solution. Canned green coffee beans. Green coffee beans have not been roasted. And since the bean is not cracked yet, the shelf life is many years longer than roasted or ground coffee. Due to the way it's packed, you can expect these to stay fresh for 20-plus years. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order your canned green coffee beans. A single can is only $11.94. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. CampingSurvival.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We're talking about the late, great Hugo Chavez. You know, my friend and colleague at American Free Press, Pete Papa Heracles, has written favorably about Hugo Chavez. And just the other day, a very prominent anti-New World Order writer angrily sent Pete an email saying, "How dare you praise Hugo Chavez? Don't you know he's anti-American and he's a socialist?" And, well, even if Hugo Chavez is a socialist or was a socialist, he can do whatever he wants in his country. And, you know, they have a different culture. They have different politics there. But anyway, look, the fact is the big bad boys didn't like Hugo Chavez. This is what David Rothkopf, he was the director of Kissinger Associates, and that's Henry Kissinger's front group. You do know Henry Kissinger. He is, I think you would agree, one of the foremost advocates of the New World Order. Well, in his book, Rothkopf wrote a book several years ago called Superclass, The Global Power Elite and the World They Are Making. Now, this is not a conspiracy theory book, of course. No, in fact, but he mentions the Bilderberg Group, the Trilateral Commission, and the Council on Foreign Relations, and he speaks approvingly of them. He acknowledges their influence, you know, and he, in his book, he talks about the superclass. And what that is, folks, he's talking about the New World Order elite. And he said that, in his words, the political fault line, his words, for the 21st century is a battle between, now these are his words, a battle between globalists versus nationalists. Not Michael Collins Piper's words there, folks, or Willis Cardo's, or people who write for the Barnes Review or American Free Press. This is David Rothkopf, a Jewish gentleman who is a director of Henry Kissinger's organization. And he says that while we have this super class, that there's an emerging global network of anti-globalists. This is what he wrote in his book, folks. And we will get around back to Hugo Chavez directly in a moment. This is what he's talking about. He says, at the core of the anti-network is a small group of leaders linked by many shared characteristics and attitudes, though they come from widely different regions of the world. They might be characterized as quote-unquote nationalists, or opponents of the United States, or critics of Western-led globalization. In their view, globalization is old Western imperialism dressed up in new clothes, and they are reacting to it much as they were trained to react to such incursions. Whether you characterize it as nationalist versus internationalist, populist versus globalist, or anti-neo-imperialist versus pro-American globalization, the fact is that the battle lines are drawn. Now, he talks about that small group of leaders, ladies and gentlemen, his words, who are challenging this global edifice, this internationalist edifice. That is the New World Order, folks. He names three of them in particular. One of them is Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. The other is Russian leader Vladimir Putin. And the other is Hugo Chavez. So what he was doing, he was candidly confirming that the primary underlying conflict in our world today, as it always has been, it's the fight between by nationalists worldwide to preserve their nation's sovereignty in the face of this concerted drive by cosmopolitan internationalists to erect a global imperium. It's what Willis Cardo calls international nationalism, where nationalists worldwide cooperate together against internationalism, against the global planners, against the New World Order. Well, Rothkopf's admissions in that book were a clear sign that the New World Order schemers recognized that serious forces were aligning against them. Unfortunately, groups such as the John Birch Society have parroted the New World Order crowd and the warmongering pro-Israel neoconservatives by attacking nationalists such as Ahmadinejad, Putin, and the late, great Hugo Chavez. And as I say, I understand Hugo Chavez is now being attacked by the Alex Jones crowd. Well, we now know that Hugo Chavez was a nationalist fighting the New World Order. And considering all of this, quite naturally, from the time Chavez was elected president of Venezuela in 1999, the tightly knit interlocking network of Rothschild dynasty-linked plutocratic families and the Federal Reserve-connected financial interests who dominate the American military-industrial media complex, they never spared any fervor in denouncing Chavez at any opportunity. However, the fact that international Zionism and the interwoven forces of the New World Order were disturbed about Chavez was, at first, largely kept under wraps. Zionist hatred of Chavez was confined to small circulation, but nonetheless influential journals read almost exclusively by supporters of Israel and in elitist circles. For propaganda purposes, though, designed to manipulate more broad-ranging concerns of freedom-loving Americans, the media regularly stoked up the theme that Chavez was a socialist or a communist under the thumb of Fidel Castro. That Chavez was friendly toward Castro, as virtually all Latin American leaders, even conservatives, had been, not to mention leaders worldwide, was hardly proof Chavez was a communist. Even the New York Review of Books admitted on October 6, 2005, this is a direct quote, that a great many businessmen have prospered under Chavez, and he has made it clear he sees a significant role for the private sector, and most particularly for foreign investment. So Chavez was no communist, media lies notwithstanding. In truth, Chavez modeled himself after Simón Bolívar, the liberator of the Andean colonies from the Spanish crown. And even in traditional American history texts, Simon Bolivar is called the George Washington of South America. Well, this simmering secret war against Chavez took a new turn when, on his 700 Club back in 2005, pro-Israel television evangelist Pat Robertson, suggesting Chavez was a new communist threat, openly called for the United States to assassinate Chavez, who, if you will recall, at that point was emerging, folks, as a forceful critic of the warmongering of the George W. Bush administration. Now, most Americans, think about this, most Americans would have never heard of Robertson's provocation had it not been for the big media loudly publicizing the evangelist's remarks. And as such, Chavez and his supporters correctly saw Robertson's outburst as part of a carefully crafted high-level scheme to direct American popular ire against Chavez and set the stage for military action against him. Now, you know, can you imagine the outcry? I don't know what would happen if some foreign figure called for the assassination of Pat Robertson, which, of course, would result in Pat Robertson going to hell or the assassination successful. But here's this wonderful, good Christian man calling for the murder of Hugo Chavez. But that's an aside, folks. Okay. Well, in fact, the call for killing Chavez came just days after the Bush administration's foremost voice of support in the media, the neoconservative Weekly Standard, slammed Chavez, claiming he was a threat to more than just his own people, that he was a danger to the tiny but wealthy Jewish population in Venezuela. And they bemoaned the fact that Venezuelan state television speculated that Israel's intelligence service, the Mossad, may have been linked to the assassination of a local official in Venezuela. Weekly Standard said that hostility to Jews was one of the hallmarks of the Venezuelan government, and they cited a State Department report on global anti-Semitism that showed, according to the Standard, how openly anti-Semitic the Venezuelan government now is. Well, of particular concern was that one of Chavez's closest advisors, the late Norberto Cerasole, was infamous for conspiracy theories about Jewish plans to control the planet. And, oh boy, folks, that Cerasole was a Holocaust denier. In other words, he questioned official accounts of World War II history. Now, here's the funny thing. You may not be aware of this, but you should be. And you should be shocked by it. But this so-called crime of Holocaust denial is punishable by imprisonment in many Western nations that call themselves democracies. Now, this isn't a rumor. This isn't an internet rumor, folks. It's a fact. I personally know people. A lot of our regular listeners know who I'm referring to, but I actually personally know people who have been jailed in other countries because they've been accused of, quote-unquote, denying the Holocaust. And I'm here to tell you that's a bad thing. That is to jail people for thinking. That's a thought crime. Well, some of these Western nations that were accusing Chavez of being a socialist and a communist who was suppressing freedom of expression in Venezuela, these same countries, and I'm talking about nice countries, folks, like Germany and Austria, they put people in jail for thinking, for saying things about the Holocaust that Jewish folks don't like. And I'm here to tell you, if any American politician, I say this candidly, I've written it, I'll say it again and again and again. If any American politician ever introduces legislation to criminalize anything regarding the Holocaust, he or she should be shot on the spot. I will repeat that just so there's no mistake. Any American politician who would ever introduce a law like that in the United States should be shot on the spot. Absolutely. Well, the thing about it is, folks, talking about Mr. Chavez here, is that up until now, Jewish opposition to Chavez is festering in private little journals and in Jewish newspapers and journals like the Weekly Standard. It hadn't really gone public. When we come back, we'll talk very briefly about that.
Ask you not to read between the lines. extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Wrapping up our discussion of Hugo Chavez, I had commented how for several years the festering opposition to Hugo Chavez by the organized Jewish and Zionist community was largely confined to dark mutterings and chatter within Jewish publications and in publications of interest to hardline Zionists and neoconservatives. But it never quite reached the public in a big way. We were all being told that he was a communist and a socialist and anti-American. But finally, they had to get right down to it and say, yes, well, Chavez is an anti-Semite. They went public in a big way. In 2008, in a commentary in the Washington Post on the op-ed page, Hugo Chavez's anti-Semitism is the title of an article by Abe Foxman of the Anti-Defamation League. A rising wave of anti-Semitism in Venezuela. Foxman charged Venezuelan officials and media were rehashing the ancient canard about Jewish control, vilifying Jews and agents and Israel as agents of imperialism, and adopting anti-Semitic stereotypes about Jewish financial influence. Foxman was upset that Chavez was friendly to Iran's Ahmadinejad and Syrian President al-Assad, among others. The ADL called a verifiable threat to Israel and world Jewry. Well, folks, Hugo Chavez is gone, but other leaders in South America and worldwide, with the support of many good Americans, still carry on his fight against the New World Order. God bless Hugo Chavez. Now, folks, during the break, I got a big laugh out of this. My producer told me that a gentleman named Keith had called in, that I had mentioned him on the air. He ain't seen nothing yet, folks. He was upset that I mentioned him on the air. Well, many of you will recall, this is the Keith who called in my last program, live program, and I just let him go on. He was upset of multiple things. Number one, he doesn't like the fact the way I laugh. He doesn't like the fact that I refer to myself in the third person. He says I am the most homosexual of all radio broadcasters or something to that effect. He forgot to mention the allegation that I have a homosexual lover who is an agent of the Anti-Defamation League. Or allegations that I'm an alcoholic and a drug abuser. He did attack me for not knowing the truth about who the Jews are and who Israel really is. He happens to be a Christian identity advocate. I also bitterly attacked David Duke. Not quite sure what his complaint about David Duke was. Went on about that for some time. I let him, you know, as I say, I let these people go on when they have something to say. Now he wants to come back on the air. He thinks he's going to come back on the air. In fact, folks, you know, this is something, you know, Mark Glenn, G-L-E-N-N, Mark Glenn over there at theuglytruth.wordpress.com. Mark and I over the years have had, and many, many people in public life have this problem with callers. And even readers of American Free Press, they develop this venom. Gets very, very frightening. There was one guy who used to call Mark Glenn when Mark was on this network, and he would also call this program and was initially quite friendly, but later became quite threatening and actually was making dark comments about Mark's children and his family. This same person called me at home one time at 4 o'clock in the morning and left a weird message on my answering machine about Mark Glenn and his family. These kind of people, and you know, what's kind of frightening about this guy, Keith, is that, I'm here to tell you folks, I have learned quite reliably that this guy, Keith, who has this venomous attitude towards me and David Duke, you know, well, I'll tell you about that in a second, but you know, it's kind of interesting, folks. I got a lot of emails about Keith's call, and there were many, many good Christian identity people who called in to say, well, Keith doesn't represent our point of view. Please don't mistake his weird behavior and his threatening behavior to represent us. I had somebody write in suggesting that Keith might be some sort of troll who's trying to, you know, no. You know, it's but these kind of people are they pop up. I'm here to tell you, folks. I have learned that this guy Keith, was once tried but acquitted for murder. He stabbed somebody repeatedly at a party, apparently, at a party a lot of people wouldn't attend, where there was a lot of drug use, and apparently he claimed self-defense and was acquitted. Well, you know, I guess if I killed somebody and stabbed them repeatedly, I would claim self-defense as well. But you know, it's kind of interesting the way Keith was attacking me for not endorsing Christian identity and apparently attacking David Duke for the same reason. Kind of interesting, just days after Keith's attack, I got a mailing from an old friend of mine, Pastor Tom Robb, who is a Christian identity pastor, and he is holding a Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Now, it's a school. Very interesting stuff, folks. I'll talk about that when we come back. I want you to know about this.
Yeah, we'll send you bad tidings from New York. Open up your eyes so you may see. Ask you not to read between the lines.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid 3 times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
What do you need? You need paracord. CampingSurvival.com is providing you U.S. military 550 paracord. 550 tensile strength. Military specifications. Made in the USA. Available in 3,000, 1,000, 600, 300, 150 links. You can purchase yours now at CampingSurvival.com. Lowest prices on paracord. Huge selection. All ready to be shipped. Black paracord, 1,000 feet, only $39.83 right now on CampingSurvival.com. But wait, use the code FREEDOM when purchasing and save 5% off. Paracord is a unique material used for many different reasons. Get yours from CampingSurvival.com now. Confidence born of preparation. CampingSurvival.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. When we went to the break, I was contrasting the anger of this guy who presents himself as a voice of Christian identity and the word of Christ. Contrast, and I refer to this guy Keith, this guy who, you know, if you've killed somebody and cut them up, stabbed them repeatedly, whether in self-defense or not, you can't come out of that let's just put it this way, that's quite a learning experience. Has to affect the way you look at the world. But I contrasted his vicious attacks on me and David Duke with a letter that I got from Tom Robb, who is a Christian identity pastor. Known Tom a long, long time. Don't agree with all his views on everything, but he's a nice fellow. A lot of people don't like him because of his views. And from August 23rd to August 29th, he's having a conference down in Arkansas. Training Institute. I'm going to give you the number where you can call him up. But what's interesting is, he says, I want to add that although this school is founded on Christian principles, we are aware that there are those in the white nationalist movement who, for whatever reason, do not embrace the Christian faith, and yet who may wish to attend. Such individuals are welcome to enroll without fear of prejudice. Contrast that with Keith, who believes that if you don't agree with exactly what he believes, then you are going to hell. Where evidently he sent somebody himself many years ago with a knife and was fortunately acquitted. I hope if I ever have to kill somebody, I hope I'll be acquitted if I'm charged. I just hope he doesn't decide to kill me or David Duke. Anyway, I would encourage you to check out this conference that Tom Robb is having. I'm going to give you a number here. It's 870-427-3414, and it's the Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. And the website, the prospectus for it, with a list of some of their interesting speakers, including Billy Roper, formerly with the National Alliance, and Dr. William Pierce. We have Paul Fromm, my friend in Canada, Dr. Tomislav Sunik, Tom Robb himself, Rachel Pendergraft. She has written a lot of interesting articles for Tom Robb over the years. Their online site is S, as in Sam, O, T, C, traininginstitute.com. That's SOTC, traininginstitute.com. Now, I have to say, one thing that Keith did contribute when he spent his few minutes, more than necessary, I think, in the end, ranting and raving, he started off by calling in saying that what he objected to was the fact that Michael Collins Piper said the United Nations was of no significance and that the Rockefellers were of no significance. And he also said that I said the Jews don't run America. Well, I do not believe they do run America. They sure as hell want to run America. They have a major influence on America. They're a major influence in many of the terrible things that the United States does in pursuing the New World Order. But that comes back to this issue of the United Nations, folks. And this is what I want to talk about here tonight. So Keith, in his own crazy, perverse way, did contribute something to the program. In my book, The Golem, about Israel's nuclear hell bomb, which I call a study of the Israelization of American foreign policy and its implications for the survival of mankind, I had a whole chapter entitled Zionism's War Against the United Nations, Setting in Place a New Mechanism for Establishing a Global Imperialism. Here's what I said, folks. The United Nations has been shelved, sidelined, consigned to the trash heap, at least temporarily, by the one world dreamers who once saw the global body as a means of establishing a world hegemon. Today's imperialists now envision the United States as a driving force to implement the new world order of which they have dreamed for generations. For nearly 50 years, the major media told Americans that the UN was the last best hope for mankind. That theme was a ritualistic mantra. Anyone who criticized the UN was marginalized. However, in the 1970s, things began to change. Third world nations emerged from colonial status, and as Israel's oppression of the Christian and Muslim people of Palestine became a topic of worldwide concern, the UN took on a new complexion. At least as far as the media in America is concerned. Suddenly the UN was no longer considered such a wonderful thing at all. And then in 1975, the United Nations passed its historic resolution condemning Zionism as a form of racism. Well, that, folks, point, folks, criticism of the UN became fashionable. And I remember, folks, I started to get involved in politics in the mid-70s, and you know, I always had a bad impression of the United Nations, and then all of a sudden I noticed that, yeah, it was okay to criticize the United Nations. I mean, the New York Post at one point referred to the United Nations as the anti-American, anti-Semitic rats infesting the banks of the East River. Cal Thomas, an associate in the New York Post, good Lord, one of the great pro-Israel journals. In the Washington Times, Cal Thomas, a henchman of Jerry Falwell, he thought the fact when he used to hear bad things about the United Nations, he thought that was kind of crazy. But he says, but he said that he had finally converted, and that yes, the United States should get out of the United Nations. And then, folks, JINSA, the publication of the Journal of International Security Affairs, that's published by the Jewish Institute for National Security Policy, which Professor Edward Herman, an anti-Zionist critic of Israel, has described as a virtual agency of the Jewish government. Well, JINSA, in its summer 2003 and winter 2004 issues, published a piece by a Zionist academic named Alexander Jaffe, J-O-F-F-E, entitled "The Empire That Dared Not Speak Its Name." And his theme was that America is an empire, but that's a good thing, and that the new global regime that should be established would find America as the center of a new international system. It says it would be a world that looks like America and is therefore safe for all. Well, here's what Mr. Jaffe, the Zionist, said in the Zionist Journal. "The end of the General Assembly of the United Nations as a credible body may plausibly be ascribed the infamous Zionism as racism revolution." He said the UN has been, quote, discredited, reduced to farce, and ultimately ground to a halt. He said, "We now have the opportunity and obligation to begin again." He said that the UN, or I should say that the European Union is out there. It's out there fighting nationalism. He says, but the new European empire is multicultural in theory. And he said that even in the European Union today, there is anti-Americanism, anti-Semitism, and a wide variety of conspiracy theories. But what Mr. Jaffe wants is the other kind of liberal internationalism. Says, given our history and our values, the future lies in leveraging the American empire in such a way that it becomes the basis of a new democratic international system. And what he's talking about, folks, he said, how will this be done? He said new arrangements must come into being under American leadership to provide an alternative for states that are willing to accept rights and responsibilities. Jaffe dreams of a United Nations that has been remade under the imperial force of the United States. And he predicts the possibility of world government. He says, possibly after a period of chaos and anger, which in any event would simply intensify existing states of being, the institution, referring to the United Nations, might be bludgeoned into changing. Rather than a club that admits all, the 21st century United Nations might someday, somehow, be remade into an exclusive, by invitation, members-only group of free democratic states sharing similar values, or in the end, replaced by one. That day, however, may be decades off. And what he says, listen to this. The best way to preserve the American empire is to eventually give it up. Setting the stage for global governments can only be done with American leadership and American-led institutions of the sort schematically outlined here. Okay, well, here's what I summarize all this. What it all comes down to is the use of America's military power to advance another secret agenda altogether. Right here in the pages of a Zionist journal, we've learned precisely what the story behind the story actually is. The Zionist master plan has nothing to do even with a strong America, or for that matter, even with America itself. The United States is simply a pawn, albeit a powerful one, in the game, being ruthlessly shifted about in a scheme for world dominance by an elite few operating behind the scenes. Now, here, folks, further evidence from this, that this comes from the Zionist point of view, comes from Israel's former ambassador to the United Nations, Dore Gold, in a 2004 book, Tower of Babel, How the United Nations Has Fueled Global Chaos. And he has a scenario for a new global regime under United States diktat, pushing aside the United Nations. He says that a coalition of allies could start with neutralizing the greatest threat to international peace today, global terrorism, another threat the UN has failed to counter effectively. You've heard about that war on terrorism. And there would be this democratic coalition, folks. Such a democratic coalition would be far more representative of the national will of each country's citizens than the UN currently is. Oddly, he says, by going outside the UN, these countries would be recommitting themselves to the principles of which the UN was originally founded. They would embrace the principles laid out in the UN Charter and insist that members of the coalition fully adhere, not just give lip service, to a basic code of international conduct. So in short, while Gold and his Zionist allies see global government worthy of support, they do not see the United Nations as the means by which to achieve it. Now, Gold elaborated further. That's appropriate. His name is Gold, isn't it? Here's the new mechanism for a new world order. And this is what Dore Gold said, folks. He says, because the UN has lost the moral clarity of its founders, the United States and its allies must take the lead. The world will follow in time. If more than 100 nations wanted to join the community of democracies, the democratic ideal must be powerful. And you know what, folks? In June of 2000, Secretary of State Madeleine Albright inaugurated the community of democracies. So the mechanism is already in place. He said the United States might ultimately reinvigorate the UN and make the organization system of selective security, but that day is a long way off. So what they're saying now is that we need a parallel UN under the domination of the United States and its allies, as though the United Nations is not already dominated by the United States and its allies. This is a theme, folks, that has been consistent, and yet people like Keith, and he's not the only one. Keith is a peculiar lad, as he demonstrated repeatedly on the air, on this network and elsewhere. But, I mean, he's not peculiar for constantly clinging to this theme that the United Nations is the ultimate evil because, no, you know, folks, the United Nations is one of these international organizations which has been a convenient foil for very good reason. But the point is, as I've tried to convey here in this book, and I think I've outlined it pretty clearly. I've only ever really here just given you the highlights. In fact, it is precisely just what I said on this program some years ago that upset Keith so immensely. The United Nations just ain't what it's cracked up to be. Whoops, maybe I shouldn't use that term crack when I'm talking about Keith. But no, the United Nations, ladies and gentlemen, don't fear the United Nations. What you need to fear is the forces who are saying we need an alternative to the United Nations, that we needed a community of democracy, because this is their way of setting up a world government. And as I've quoted from Mr. Jaffe here, the Zionist philosopher, the whole intent is to make the American nation and its resources, its blood and treasure, the means to bring about a world dominated by American guns and power, but ultimately merged into a world government, a new world order. And that's the new world order, of course, that they talk about in the Talmud. Yeah, the Rockefeller family, David Rockefeller is 96 years old, I believe, 94, he's up there. They've been major players in the Council on Foreign Relations and the push for the United Nations, but the Rockefeller family is fading away, folks. You know, remember there was J.P. Morgan. The famous story is that when he died, they realized he didn't have as much money as everybody thought. But he was a key player in there, manipulating, working on behalf of other forces. And that is essentially what we find ultimately with the Rockefeller family. So I don't get so scared when I hear about the Rockefeller name mentioned, and they are powerful. They have done a lot of bad things. I'm not defending the Rockefellers. But they are on their way out. They have been used and abused by the greater masters at the higher levels, even at levels beyond even our understanding or awareness, perhaps. they are human beings to the extent that we know they are human beings, if you know what I mean. But the Rockefellers are just more players on the stage, and they will be replaced by others. But, of course, that reality is something that, of course, I guess folks like Keith just don't understand. But I do realize that most of you do understand what I'm saying when I say that the Rockefellers are no more. They'll always have a lot of money unless some of the lesser heirs spend it all. But the Rockefellers are on the way out. There's a whole new breed coming into the ranks of the leadership in the Council on Foreign Relations. And in fact, yes, many of them are Jewish. There are many Jewish forces coalescing around institutions that have been associated with the Rockefellers in the past. Anyway, folks, we have a few minutes when we come back, and I just tell you to get your pen and paper handy and give you some more interesting books you might want to check out.
Are you facing foreclosure? Worried about late payments? Fight back and stay in your home. Zero Debt Guaranteed can help. We'll send you a free ebook just for calling 800-477-9256. Or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Get the details on how to remove your risk to your debt. And so important to many homeowners today, how to stop foreclosure.
Forget loan modification.
The Zero Debt in 90 Days system can show you how to get the bank to pay your property taxes and insurance while stopping your foreclosure.
Without paying one dime.
You can take control. Stop foreclosure. Protect your cash, assets, wages, property, and sleep peacefully at night.
We've been helping people for over 18 years.
Call Zero Debt Guaranteed, 800-477-9256. Ask for free information, no obligation. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com now.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper. I don't know where to begin here. So many books to talk about, but I will tell you to get your pen and paper handy. I have a massive and very revealing volume in my hand. It is published by the W.W. Norton & Company, certainly not a Nazi publishing house. The author, the title of the book is Anti-Judaism, The Western Tradition. And the author is David Nierenberg, who is a professor at the University of Chicago, not a Nazi university. And I believe Mr. Nierenberg is Jewish, N-I-R-E-N-B-E-R-G. Anti-Judaism, The Western Tradition. Now, this is what's interesting, folks, here. He said, "This." Let me read you from the book. This is a very important book, folks. It's $35 in the bookstores. It's a powerful history that shows anti-Judaism to be a mode of thought deeply embedded in the Western tradition. It says, "We understand anti-Judaism, whether expressed in a casual remark or implemented on a massive scale, as somehow exceptional, an unfortunate mark of personal prejudice, or the shocking outcome of an extremist ideology married to power. We consider it irrational, an anomaly in the Western tradition of tolerance and progress. But as David Nirenberg shows with deep learning and elegance, we are dangerously complacent if we confine anti-Judaism to the margins of our culture. This complex of ideas sits at the core of the Western tradition." One of the books here says, one of the reviewers says, "Nirenberg provides an extraordinary survey of Western culture, arguing that hostility to Judaism is not the product of occasional historical conjunctures, economic crises, or far-right political victories. Rather, it is a constituent element of our culture and one of its critical tools. Reading this book left me shaken." So in other words, folks, if you've ever been accused of being anti-Jewish, you're not on the margins. You're not an extremist. According to this Jewish scholar from the University of Chicago, anti-Judaism is central, historic to the Western tradition. And what's interesting is that they say this trenchant intellectual history locates anti-Judaism in the genome of the West. But it's interesting. David Bell of Princeton University says that the book takes on nothing less than the Western tradition itself. Well, I'm here to stand with the Western tradition, ladies and gentlemen. I'm standing for that tradition that reaches around the world. Recognition, folks, that the New World Order, the product of Zionism, which is indeed a product of Judaism, is something that is alien to the entire world. So here is a place where the Western tradition certainly does intersect with Eastern traditions, worldwide traditions. But if you're part of the West, you can feel comfortable, folks, in knowing that anti-Judaism is the Western tradition, central to it. The genome of the West. That's what a Jewish scholar says. Thanks for listening in, folks. Thanks for your patience. Have a good week.
Open up your eyes so you may see. Ask you not to read between the lines.